today and for the other Sundays of this month, I want to share with you three words. I sense it for my own life, God's word for me, God's desire for me, God's call to me. And maybe it's just me, but my guess would be no. Rather, instead, is his word that would be both applicable and good for you and for me, for us all. I believe that. Not a resolution, but rather words, three words that would set the tone for the coming year. Words that would become the sum and summation of this 2023. Words that would characterize. Words that would become the defining words. 350 days from now. What about 2023? One word to describe it. One single blank for you to fill. No doubt in the end, there would be lots of words that would fit. I pray for all of us that first and foremost, above all else, above anything else, our minds would immediately go to filling that blank with these three words. The first is this: closer. Closer. We could consider that in the context of life. It would be a great word for you to hold on to, related to your marriage, your children, your grandchildren. Closer. Be a great word for us to apply in the context of this church. Brothers and sisters, closer. Closer. I think of it most of all in the message for us this morning, in the context of our relationship with Jesus. Closer. Do you sense that? Do you hear that from the Lord today? Does the Spirit make that word to resonate in your spirit this morning? Closer. Even as your ears hear it from my voice, let your heart hear it from His. Listen now. Closer. Don't you feel the need for that? No matter where you are, no matter how you would define or describe the past year of 2022, don't you sense within you the need to be closer? Doesn't this world weigh us down? Doesn't this world corrupt us? Doesn't this world, we're bombarded by it at every turn. We turn on the TV, we're out and about. This world that's just constantly weighing us down, burdening us. This sense of oppression that we live under in the context of a sin-stricken world and sin that is everywhere. The residue of sin on everything we touch. As you see that, and as you see the effect that it's had on your life, don't you sense that? The need to get closer. Don't you want that? Even in the midst of all else that you would want and need in the coming year, wouldn't you recognize? But that's the one thing. That's the main thing. The thing above all the other things. Closer. It might not be the thing that you would initially think of, but when presented with the thought, your list might look a little different. The things that I'm going to pursue, the things that I want to define this year, I'm going to list this and I'm going to list this. I want the end, 350 days from now, I want to be able to look back on the year and I want to be able to describe the year by this, by this, by this. But now all of a sudden you're presented with this thought. Closer. Doesn't that all of a sudden seem to find its way to the top of your list? Yes. That's it. Not that I don't want all the rest. Not that I would be disappointed if all the rest was there. But maybe a sense, I would be disappointed if all the rest was there, but the closer wasn't there. Or even worse yet, the opposite. I have all of this, but I've drifted further. No way. Don't you sense it as it goes to the top of your list? Yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I need. Can I invite you this morning to acknowledge this? Jesus wants you closer. Don't you know that to be true? Jesus wants you closer. But Pastor, there's nothing wrong. I'm not living in some horrific sin. I love the Lord. I'm close to the Lord. Look, we're here on a Sunday morning. I'm going to be here on Wednesday night. Pastor, come on. Everything's fine with me and the Lord. But don't you know Jesus wants you closer? Can I invite you to acknowledge that, to settle that as a foundation? How close are you to Jesus? I'm close. That you would recognize even still, oh, but Jesus wants me closer. I know I speak to some longtime saints. I know I speak to faithful church attenders. I know I speak to generous givers. I know I speak to those that are involved in ministry and doing ministry and concerned for the lost and involved in missions and praying for our missionaries and giving to our missionaries. I know all of that. I understand all of that. All the evidences of you and your relationship with Jesus and that relationship with Jesus having a defining impact on your life. But still, I invite you to acknowledge He wants you closer. Where does Jesus want you? He wants you closer. One says it this way, make no mistake, there is one place and one place alone to which Christ wants you to be when it comes to Him. And that is closer. He wants you closer. With that also this, we need to be closer. One says, remember, followers of Jesus, remember, we refuse to follow at a distance. Listen to what he says. Remember, if you're not moving closer, you're moving away. There's no calm water. There's only current. Maybe we could say it this way. There's the current that moves you toward Him. There's the current that moves you away from Him. No calm water, only current. You're in one or the other. Moving closer or moving further away. Do you believe that? I think that we would be inclined, many of us, to say that we do, but I wonder, there's a disconnect maybe in applying that to how we live. I'm getting closer to Him or I'm drifting further from Him. To ensure the former and not the latter, I make Him to be the sole pursuit of my life. I don't know if we're doing that. I don't know if we're always doing that like we should. We say we believe it, but I'm not sure we live like we do. Our lives consumed with getting closer. Understanding if we're not getting closer, we're getting further away. So our lives consumed with getting closer. Our lives consumed with doing the things that get us closer to Him so that we don't drift further. No, I think all too often, truth be told, we settle for complacency, living life like it's all good and fine, even if we're not moving closer. Though we would recognize, though we would verbalize, if we're not getting closer, we're moving further away, but a sense that in our lives, that's not being reflected in how we live. We're not moving closer, we're content to stay put without realizing that really, according to our own belief, we can't stay put. We're drifting. We're getting further away. Every day that we spend not pursuing Him and getting closer to Him. To everyone in the room, hear me this morning. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. I believe it. You need to be closer. Would you acknowledge that? Would you set that as a foundation? Would you just verbalize that, not out loud, but just in your own mind and in your own heart? I need to be closer. Can I invite you to acknowledge that and then still then this as well? It's good for us to be closer. It's good. One writes, our desire for God is a gift we must regularly open and gauge if we are going to fully realize and enjoy it. While salvation is an unconditional gift of God's grace, some intimacies with God come only with a relentless pursuit of Him. Don't you want to enjoy God? Don't you want to enjoy your relationship with Him? Have you gone through seasons of life where just things were, there was a perspective, there was something that settled over your life? Maybe there was compromise, maybe there was sin, maybe it was just a season of wilderness wandering, a dryness that you experienced in your spirituality. You look back on that, you recognize even in the time of it, almost seemed like relationship with God was more a chore than it was a joy. Almost more that you were burdened by it than made alive because of it. And you recognize, oh, that was a terrible place. When my relationship with Him became like that, it was a terrible place. And you'd recognize, I want nothing to do with that. I don't ever want to go back to that place. I don't want to ever do again the things that got me to that place. I don't ever want to settle into the place of complacency that took me to that place. I want to know a joy in my relationship with Him. I want to know a joy. I want to come alive when it comes to the things of God. I want to come alive when it comes to my relationship with Him, when it comes to time spent with Him, when it comes to worship, when it comes to the Word, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to obedience to Him. I want to come alive in those moments. I want to know that joy, not at a distance. I want a real relationship with Him, a friend that sticks closer than a brother kind of relationship, a personal, close, cherished, dear, intimate relationship with Him. You can have that as you come closer. No wonder. Do you understand? We want to come closer. It's good for us to get closer. Along with acknowledging all that, can I invite you this morning to understand this? What it truly is to get closer to Him. So consider it in this context, where you are in your relationship with Him, what your relationship with Him looks like now in this season of your life, never wanting to drift from that, only instead desiring to get closer. What do you do? You're here in relationship with Him, but you want to be closer to Him. How do you move closer? What are the things that you do? If we can visualize it in the context of this, God is there and you're here in relationship with Him, loving Him, serving Him, but recognizing there's place where you can move so that you're closer to Him. How do you bridge that gap? How do you take a step forward so that you're closer to where He is? Understand this, to come closer is to seek Him. In Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. To seek Him is to call on Him. To seek Him is to forsake wicked ways and to forsake wicked thoughts. To seek Him is to turn to the Lord and to live in His ways, have His thoughts, hate what He hates, love what He loves. That's what it is to seek Him. To seek Him is to look to Him for guidance rather than relying on our own human understanding. The great preacher George Mueller said it this way, I never remember in all my Christian course, a period now 69 years and 4 months, that I ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the instrumentality of the Word of God, but have always been directed rightly. 69 years and 4 months, always directed right by the Word and the will of God. Always, he continues. But if honesty of heart and uprightness before God were lacking, or if I did not patiently wait upon God for instruction, or if I preferred the counsel of my fellow men to the declaration of the word of the living God, I made great mistakes. Don't you understand our propensity on our own to mess a lot of stuff up in a big way? But as we get closer, what we discover is that getting closer is seeking him, calling out to him, turning from wickedness, turning to him, seeking his counsel, seeking his guidance in his direction, which leads us always in the right way. Don't you know it's true? You get off of God's path and you're on the wrong path. No matter how comfortable it is, no matter how convenient it is, you get off his path and you're in trouble. But you stay in his path, though you don't understand it always. You stay in his path and he works right and good in your life. To call on him, turn from wickedness and turn to him, look to him for guidance and direction and wisdom. That's what it is to seek him, and that's what you do to draw closer to him. We read this of Ezra. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord and the law of the Lord. Would you prepare your heart this year to seek the Lord? Because by seeking the Lord, I'm drawing closer to the Lord. He determined to do that. He devoted himself to that. What do you devote yourself to this year? I believe it. The word of the Lord for me, for you, for us today. This is what we do. We devote ourselves to getting closer. We seek him. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You know it. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to him. To come closer, it's to seek him. To come closer is to seek him first. To come closer is to seek him with all of your heart. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Other translations say it this way. Daniel, he resolved, he determined, he made up his mind, he purposed in his heart. Our English word purpose derives from an old Anglo-French verb meaning to propose. When a man proposes marriage to a woman, he says, it's my purpose to spend my life with you and with none other. The advantage of such a proposal as it transitions to a life purpose is that it eliminates a multitude of decisions that might present themselves. Anything that conflicts with one's purpose in life is not even considered or shouldn't be. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself in a pagan land. Setting our desire upon God, we purpose in our hearts today to seek him. We purpose in our hearts today to get closer to him. We make that our life purpose. We resolve ourselves that we make up our minds that this is what we'll do. This is what we'll do today because this is the objective for today. Get closer. This is the purpose for tomorrow. This is your reason for being tomorrow. You will wake up with this determination. I am here for this purpose to get closer. This is what you'll do a month from now, 6 months from now. You'll come to this place with this determination. I'm here for the purpose of getting closer to him. We resolve ourselves to that. And then that purposing then within our hearts, we eliminate any and all decisions that would present themselves to us that would be contrary or in conflict with the one purpose, that singular purpose for our lives for this year, closer. If it doesn't line up with closer, we set it aside. If it's going to distract us from the singular purpose, closer, we set it aside. We want nothing to do with it. In Philippians chapter 3, I've got my eyes on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, one translation says, and I'm not turning back. No doubt Paul had many goals. Wanted to be faithful. Wanted to be disciplined. Wanted to be generous. Wanted to be a big giver. Wanted to be loving. Wanted to be a good shepherd to the churches he planted. But they all served his one all-consuming purpose, to press toward God in Christ, to get closer. Let it be the same then for us. No turning back. No getting distracted. No getting sidetracked. Our eyes on the goal. Everything in our lives serving the one all-consuming purpose. Closer. To come closer, it's undistracted devotion then. It's unshared dependency. To come closer, it's turning our hearts towards him in a way that transcends our needs. I think I've probably shared this with you before. It's one of my great illustrations as it relates to real communion with God. The picture is presented when they've sinned and God comes looking for Adam and Eve and calling out to them. The picture presented in Scripture is that this was a common occurrence. Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the garden with the Lord. Can you imagine it? And think of it for a moment, because it's an interesting perspective. But they had no problems. There was no trouble. There was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no death. There was nothing to worry Adam and Eve. There was nothing fearful in any aspect of their life. It was perfection. It was sinlessness. Isn't there a sense it leaves us wondering, what did they talk to God about? Because there's something within us. Our dialogue with God is so often driven by what? Our needs. We go to God. God, I need this. I'm asking you for this. I need help here. I'm asking for a good day. I'm praying you'll protect my family. God, I need this. God, I want you to do this. And before we know it, our prayer life is consumed only by those things. Adam and Eve present to us a picture where there's communion that we can have with God that transcends our needs. Real relationship with him despite the troubles of life. It is true, Jesus meets our needs. We know this. But he desires way more of a relationship with us than just that. He doesn't just want you close when you need something. Can I say it that way? He doesn't just want you close when you're asking him for some help. He wants you close when you need nothing. He wants you closer to him, despite any need or even lack thereof. One writes this, a savior is someone you need. A king is someone you admire and respect. A general is someone you follow and obey. But a friend is someone you know and love. Listen, he is our savior, and we do need him, don't we? We do need him. And he's the king. He's our Lord. He's our God. We admire him. We respect him. We know what it is to live in the fear of the Lord. Listen, my brother, my sister, know what it is to live in the fear of the Lord. He's our commanding officer, as it were. He's the general. We obey him. Listen, brother, sister, when he tells you to do something, do it. But this morning, to come closer, the question for us then becomes, yes, to all of the above, but do we as well still know him and love him? Do we count him the friend with whom we want constant communion? Can I encourage you? The easiest, the obvious pathway to this closer relationship, this communion that transcends the needs, it's worship. It's not just telling God all you need. It's expressing to Him, oh, how you love Him. How aware, how grateful you are for all that He is to you and all that He's done for you. Listen, worship Him more. Come closer. To come closer, it's not just learning more about Him. It's experiencing Him, His presence, His Spirit, His power. What a question, right? What do you know of Him? Lots. You know lots. I know lots. Together, we know lots about God. Never mind that question for a moment. How about this one instead? But how much have you experienced of Him? Your time this past week, this new year so far, how much of it has been reinforcement of what you know of Him? How much has been experiencing Him? You went into your devotional time and you read in His Word, yes, He's the healer, and yes, He's the encourager, and yes, He provides strength, and yes, He calls us, and He commands us, and yes, we're to obey Him. You had all the reinforcement of what you already know. But can I ask you, did you meet with Him in that prayer closet? Did you experience His power? Did you experience His presence? Did you experience His Spirit in that moment? Or was your mind simply reinforced by the things that you already knew? There's a difference, isn't there? To come closer, it's not just trying to live up to His standard. It's letting Him so fill our lives, so empower us that we live His will, that we live His way, that we live His commandments, not out of constraint, but out of desire. It's not what we have to do, don't have to do, rather instead it's what we delight in doing. To come closer is to delight in the Lord, in His way, in His word, in His will. Do you delight in the things of God? Is obeying Him a chore? We come closer. We're so consumed by Him that He becomes the delight for us. Obeying Him, following Him, serving Him, living for Him, our lives spent for Him, our delight. To come closer, Hebrews 2, we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. To get closer is to pay careful attention to Him. It's to pay attention to His Word. What we've heard, what we know, what we've experienced. We pay careful attention to that. We hold to that. We lean into that so that we don't drift. Drifting is not getting closer, right? And so to get closer is to stop the drifting. To get closer is to guard against the drifting. Listen to me. Some in the room this morning, you need to hear it as the Spirit even speaks it to you in this moment. You need to stop the drifting. You're drifting. You need to stop. Some of us in the room this morning, listen, you need to guard against the drifting. You need to shut those things down. You need to turn away from that. That's potential drifting, and you're playing with it. You need to guard against that. You have to pay careful attention to that so that you don't drift. One writes, there is much more of God available than we have ever known or imagined. But we have become so satisfied with where we are and what we have that we don't press in for God's best. To get closer is to overcome the trappings of our satisfaction, our contentment, with where we currently are. I pray for each of us. A holy dissatisfaction. A holy discomfort with where we are. I pray for each of us. You can thank your pastor later. That we become miserable there. So that the only option for us is to move from where we are. To press in, to get closer. Along with understanding all that, can I invite you this morning to recognize this? James chapter 4, come close to God, you know it. And what happens? God comes close to you. He doesn't run from you. If we can imagine in this context, you are here and God is there. And there's a sense where you hear the message this morning and it resonates in your heart and you determine, you know what? I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to bridge the gap. I'm going to get close to Him. And so you imagine yourself, I'm running after God. I'm going for Him. And you begin to do that. And oftentimes the picture in our mind, this is going to be something so hard and it's going to be something so elusive. As we begin to run after God, God takes off running like it's a game of tag. And God's a fast runner. And we can't hardly ever catch Him. And so we're running and running, and God's running and running. And will we ever get closer? We don't know. Not true at all. You begin to run after Him, and here's the picture. God begins to turn around and run towards you. Cue romantic movie scene, right? Guy across the way sees girl across the way, and they begin to run towards each other to embrace in each other's arms in the movie, end credit begins. Listen, you come close to Him, and He will come close to you. This is the promised result of dedicating yourself to getting closer. Listen, you will. You determine today to get closer. 2023, here's what it is. Fill in the blank. Closer. You determine that today. You follow through. You don't let that go. You stay undistracted and undeterred in your pursuit of that. And listen, this is the promise of God's word. 350 days from now, you will be closer than you were in this moment. This is the promise. You will experience the indescribable blessing that is Him. You will chase after Him. You will pursue Him. You will seek Him. You will determine to know Him. You will determine to get closer to Him. And you will have Him. You will draw near to this God who is good and always and only does good. You will draw near. You will get closer to this God who blesses with abundance. You will get closer. This God, as you pursue Him, this God will begin to pursue you. You draw near, He will draw near to you. This God who is all powerful, who has all authority, who rules and reigns over everything. This God who is the Almighty God, the Most High God. This God who is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in excessive love and faithfulness. This God who is the provider, and this God who is the healer, who is Yahweh Shalom, the peace of His people. This God who is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. This God who would be for you your Abba, your Father. Every day of this year, you draw near to Him. You draw near to this God, and this God who is and who does all that will draw near to you. Don't you want Him near? Listen, don't you understand? For life out there, you need Him near. You need this God who is all this, who does all that. You need Him to be near to you. In Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. It's an amazing, it's an unbelievable, most powerful, life-changing promise of Scripture. Delight in Him and He will give you your heart's desires. But be careful, don't miss it. Don't make it say what it doesn't say. When we delight in Him, we make Him to be our heart's desire. He gives us then what we delight in. He gives us then our desires, the desires of our heart. He gives us Himself. In Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. In the day of trouble, He will keep me safe. He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle, set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's salvation. There's declaration. I'll not be afraid. My heart won't fear. Well, was there the lack of fear? There was the abundance of confidence. Though an army besiege me, war break out against me, even then I'll be confident. The Message puts it this way: I'm calm as a baby, collected and cool when besieged. My heart shall know no fear because I'm confident that God will save me. There's victory. Enemies stumbling and falling, not me. There's safety. There's exultation over our enemies. There's joy. There's the sound of victorious singing. There's the goodness of the Lord that's experienced all in this psalm, and all of it surrounding this one request from David. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek: that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. And this one declaration, my heart says of you, seek His face. And David responds, your face, Lord, will I seek. Hear him say to you today, seek my face. Hear him say to you today, come closer, respond, I'm getting closer. And watch as fear dissipates for you. Watch as confidence comes, joy made complete, safety and security and stability made yours. In Jeremiah 29, the Lord's plans for us, good, hope, future, plans to bless and prosper us. The word continues, when you look for me with all your heart, do you know it? You will find me. The result of rightly responding to his invitation to come closer, we get to come closer. We draw near and he draws near. He lets us find him. He gives us himself, more and more of himself. And for us, that's life changing. Get closer to him and everything will begin to change for you. Your thoughts will change. Your desires will change. Your perspective will change. One writes this: sometimes I wonder if the church has forgotten the vastness of God. Visit a congregation on a given Sunday and you'll likely find a people sitting in comfortable chairs, hearing a comforting message about a God who keeps us comfortable. Do we understand that demons fear and flee at the sound of his name? Are we suffering from a loss of all? The author continues, here's what I think: a wimpy God makes for a wimpy heart. But a great God makes for a solid saint. So let him be big. Is anything too hard for God? Does he ever throw up his hands and quit? The welcome answer is no. Nothing too hard for him. Don't measure the height of the mountain. Ponder the power of the one who made it. Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell the storm how big your God is. Your problem is not that your problem is so big, but that your view of God is too small. Our tendency is to magnify our fears. We place a magnifying glass on the diagnosis, the disease, or the debt. Stop that. Meditate less on the mess and more on the master. Less on the problems and more on his power. My friend, the next time you feel the weight of the world, talk to the one who made the world. As your perception of God grows greater, listen, you understand, right? As you get closer and your perception of God grows greater because you're closer and closer, and wow, my God is getting bigger and bigger. Listen, the size of your challenge will grow smaller and smaller. I don't say it to sound rude or mean, but if you think you've got a big problem, you need to get closer to your God this morning and see you don't have a big problem. Oh, but you do have a great big God who is more than able, come on, you know it, to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ever ask, hope for, or imagine. Get close to him. According to Psalms, the Lord is our good shepherd who guides us in paths of righteousness. Listen, the Lord goes before you. He prepares the future for you. He leads you into opportunities He's arranged. Draw close to the Lord and your perspective will change. In the midst of the seeming chaos, the trouble, the confusion, the doubt, the fearfulness, the worrisome stuff of life, you get closer and watch, your perspective changes. It's not chaos and fear and worry. It's this: God's leading me. The Good Shepherd is directing my steps. All of a sudden, doesn't that change things for you? I didn't just get fired by the boss. The Lord is directing me. It's not chaos and confusion out there. Not for me, because the Lord is directing my steps. He's guiding and leading me. Again, back to Jeremiah, into His plan for me, which is what? A good plan that gives me a hope and a future that blesses and prospers me. Do you see how everything changes? When you draw close, when you get close, your perspective on all that's happening to you is filtered through that, through Romans 8. All that happens, because I'm loving Him and I'm following Him and I'm walking according to His plan for my life, all that happens is for good. Wow, that'll change your perspective on the stuff of life. How about this? Our response even as well. Get closer. Your thoughts will change. Your desires will change. Your perspective will change. Your response will change. Choosing to rejoice in the midst of stressful circumstances, one writes, is not a normal reaction in our world, but it should be the Christian's response. We know the one who is sovereignly reigning over all the earth. We know the creator of the sunrise and the sunset. We know the Father who cares for His children. Therefore, we can rejoice in any and all circumstances. Listen, not to diminish what you're going through, not to sound rude or mean, but if you're not rejoicing this morning, you need to get closer. This is our response. This is how things change for us. Not just our thoughts, not just our desires, not just our perspective, but our response to the troublesome stuff of this life. We rejoice. I say it again. We rejoice in all circumstances, even. Get closer to Him and it'll be peace and joy and a restful contentment through it all in Him. I pray for us today. Closer. You, me, your family, my family, us together as a church family, closer. Can I encourage you? Make every effort this year. Starting today, these next few weeks, first few months, all the rest of the new year, make every effort to get closer. Determine that you'll do, listen now, whatever it takes to get closer. Can I encourage you? Do different. Do more in an effort to get closer. I believe Einstein gets the credit. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You're not thinking right if you think you can do the same thing, but something's going to change. Something's going to be different. Can I encourage you? Don't fall prey to the faulty thinking that says you can do just like you did, just like you've always done, and at the end of this year, you'll be closer to the Lord than you ever were before. Do different. Do more. In your devotional life, do different. Do more. What did you do last year? Well, on average, I was reading the Bible a couple of days a week. Well, this time, do a few days a week. Well, my devotional life, I was good in the Word, but I wasn't so great in prayer. Well, do different, do more, be good in the Word and in prayer. Maybe it was the opposite for you. I was great in prayer, I was great in worship, but I struggled ever reading the Word. Do more, do different. Maybe church for you last year was always and only Sunday morning. Make a determination to do more, to do different, because you're going to get closer. And in order to get closer, you've got to do different. You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So you're going to do something different so you can get closer. You're going to come on Wednesday night when we have prayer, Bible study. What else? What else for you? You've got to do more. You've got to do different if you want to get closer. Here's the reality. Those things aren't going to be easy. Those things aren't going to be convenient. We're too busy. There's no time. Pastor, you don't understand. Last year, I was only able to read the Bible a couple times a week because my schedule didn't allow for anything else. And I'm only busier this year than I was last year. You're right. You get it. I get it. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient to get closer. So then the sort of follow-up question, what are you going to change to get closer? And then are you willing to do what it takes to make that change so that you do get closer? Can I encourage you, be willing. Do whatever it takes. Get closer. So just how close can we come to Jesus? Are there any limits to that intimacy he offers? One has summed it up well. We are as close to God as we choose to be. Perhaps the real question is not how close can we come to Jesus, but rather how close do we want to come? To that question, may the simple answer from each of us this morning, taking us all the way back to the beginning, how close do we want to come? Closer. Father, would you help us? Would you help us in that? Lord, by your Spirit, would you just begin to speak to hearts in this room this morning? Let them hear from you, Lord. I pray that each of us would. Your call to get closer. I believe you beckon us, get closer, get closer. Lord, would you help us to hear that? It's not good enough if they hear it from me. It'll go in one ear, and by this afternoon or tomorrow or next week or a month from now for sure, it'll be out the other and it'll be forgotten. What did Pastor preach on January 15th at the start of the year? We'll have no idea. But Lord, if you can settle this in our heart, we might not remember the message, but we'll see the results of it throughout the year and even for years to come as we get closer and closer and closer, day in, day out, closer, closer, closer to you. I don't know how you would do it this morning, but would you just give yourself to the Word today? Would you receive it? I don't know how exactly you do that. Would you affirm it in your heart? Maybe you just speak that to yourself. Yes, I hear the word of the Lord today. I need to be closer. Maybe you would begin to sense what the Spirit would say to you, how you can do that. Maybe you begin to feel the promptings. You're going to change your devotion time. You're going to do more in ministry. You're going to be more involved. You're going to be more committed. Whatever it is, you're going to love Him more. You're going to worship Him more. You're going to set aside more time to worship Him and to pray and to read His Word and to study His Word. You're going to set aside more time. You're going to go find people to love on, minister to. I don't know what it is. But even now, I just sense that the Spirit of the Lord would begin to speak things to you as He draws you closer. Would you say yes to those things? Would you say yes to what He asks of you? We're just going to take a moment, and I want to invite you, get closer. Get closer. Do something more. Do something different. Maybe a typical response time is for you to sit and to listen to what I say. No, do something more. Do something different. You begin to pray. You begin to speak to the Lord. Do something more. Do something different. Maybe your tendency is to pray, just quietly to yourself. No, begin to verbalize those words. You don't have to shout, yell, or scream, but begin to verbalize, begin to speak those words. Maybe lift your hands. Maybe stand to your feet. I know it's a little bit different this morning in this room, but maybe come forward, come to the front. Make the front to be a place of an altar this morning. Maybe kneel where you sit. Whatever it is, just take a moment. We're just responding to the word of the Lord. We're getting closer. We're pressing in. Listen, begin to pray against anything that would distract you. Begin to pray against anything that would come against you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help me that my eyes be set on you. The focus of my life, getting closer, getting closer, getting closer. Give me wisdom to see the enemy's tactics to distract me from that singular purpose. I'm going to get closer. I'm going to get closer. Just for a moment. Just take a moment. Let's seek him. Call out to him. Do you need to turn from some things? Do you need to stop some drifting this morning? We're getting close. We're getting close, Jesus. We're getting close to you. Help us, Lord. Father, once more I pray, help us. That we not fall back in the old way that doesn't bring us closer. Give us the strength of your spirit to do more, to do different. I wonder if you've spoken to someone's heart about tomorrow. Tomorrow. You've challenged them. Make it different. Make it more. I pray for that brother, for that sister, strength tomorrow. So that they do what you've asked them to do, so that they can get closer. I wonder, what will you ask of us as a church? What will you call us to that will be the pathway of getting closer? Oh, help us, Lord, I pray. That whatever it is, we say yes to it. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Don't you sense it? Get closer. Get closer. It'll look different for all of us. But we would all respond rightly this morning by getting closer to him. I pray that we would. And I pray the Lord's blessing over you. Would you stand to your feet? Would you extend your hands to receive his blessing? What a joy it is. My first Sunday with you. Of this brand new year. I declare over you the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord turn to you. Be good and gracious to you. Give to you his peace. And draw you ever, ever, ever closer to him. And to that, receiving that, we say amen and amen.